Thank you, Adam. It is good to be with you today. Good to see each one of you here. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. The title of my sermon today is What is Really Important in Life? And I know for my granddaughter, Maddie, who is 4.5 months old, that her list is fairly small. She wants to be comfortable. She wants to be fed. She wants a clean diaper and lots of attention. And especially love. She wants to be loved. For my grandson Titus, who will be 2 years old next month, he also wants to be comfortable. He wants to be fed. He wants a clean diaper. He wants lots of attention. And he wants to be loved. But we can add a couple things to his list. He also wants lots of toys to play with. He wants space to run and jump endlessly. He wants to go outdoors at every possible opportunity. He is an energetic little boy. A few weeks ago, Sophia, who was about the same age as Titus, came up to their pew and for a little bonding time. And from what I understand, Sophia was there and she had her little snack bag there. She was taking her snacks out of and eating them very nicely. She was coloring in her book very nicely. But Titus, he dumps his snacks on the floor and chews on his crayons. I sure love that little guy. I guess that's the difference between boys and girls. But as we grow up, this list obviously gradually changes. So what is really important in the life of adults? There are some things we must have. Obviously, we must have food and water, or we will die. Although there are people in the world that don't have enough food to eat. We need some type of shelter. Although there's homeless people who live with very little shelter. We need some type of resources to provide for our needs, whether it's money, aid, something. We also need to be loved. This is considered to be one of the most basic and fundamental needs. They've done studies, and people that are isolated and don't have this love, it doesn't go well with them. The love we have in our families. We know that when the family breaks down, that society breaks down. The family is very important. We also want to be comfortable, although many people in the world are not comfortable. I know with some of our places in Africa, there's not a comfortable chair in the house. And there's not a comfortable bed. But they get by. And everyone has their own list of what is really important to them. But there's obviously one thing that is missing from this list, and that is God. We'll talk more about that later. The Pew Research Center, which is famous for doing surveys, conducted a survey in the first part of 2021. Obviously, COVID was still, obviously it's still going on, but it was going on more then. And their subject was, what makes life meaningful? Or in other words, what do people value in life? This is what they were being asked. And they surveyed 18,850 people from 17 advanced economies. And I realize that surveys can be manipulated to get the results that they want. But these results are pretty clear to me and somewhat shocking. Here are the 17 countries that this survey went to. Australia, New Zealand, Sweden, France, Greece, Germany, Canada, Singapore, Italy, Netherlands, Belgium, Japan, UK, United States, Spain, South Korea, and Taiwan. A pretty good cross-section of the world. And in this survey, they had 15 categories that you could choose from. And you could pick as many of these as applied to you, and you would put them in order, which was the most important, and you would go on down the list. And it was somewhat encouraging what the first choice was. The first choice was family and children. And we know that that is important to society. And it had 38% picked family and children. And I'll just quickly go down this list. The next one was occupation and career. That was 25%. Material well-being, 19%. Friends and community, 18%. Physical and mental health, 17%. Society and institutions, 14%. Freedom and independence, 12%. Hobbies and recreation, 10%. Education and learning, 5%. Nature and outdoors, 5%. Service and engagement, 3%. Travel and new experiences, 3%. Retirement, 2%. Spirituality, faith, and religion, 2%. 2%. Now, as I read a little later, it said the USA was actually better than that. 2% worldwide. And dead last was pets with 1%. And that surprised me. The way pets have hotels and restaurants to go to now, I figured pets would be higher. But anyway. And as these 17 countries, their first choice for 15 of these countries was family. Family was their first choice. Two countries, South Korea, their first choice was material well-being. For Taiwan, it was society. And for both of them, family was third. But of the top five choices, the only one that picked faith, religion, was the United States. It was fifth place in the United States. Family was first, friends was second, material well-being was third, occupation was fourth, and faith was fifth. A couple of strange things, you know, you could pick from that list, you could pick any of them that applied to you, and there were some countries that only picked one thing. 62% of those in South Korea picked material well-being. That's all they chose. Japan, 59% picked family, and that's all they mentioned. Of course, we have these different societies, or we, as we travel the world, we realize that that they see things different, and things are different for them. Back to faith. The United States actually was 15%. 15% of the people in the United States mentioned faith as being something that is meaningful in their life. Not a very high number, is it? Canada, 3%. Belgium, France, South Korea, Sweden, 1%. In Japan, it was 0. Nobody picked it. Kind of somewhat goes against what we've been taught, doesn't it? Now let's look at what God said about His importance in our lives. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We see it is how important it is, isn't it, to love our neighbor. This is the second commandment. But look at that first commandment. And if we look in Luke 10:27, it says also with all our strength, we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. That's our whole being, isn't it? We're to put Him first. Not fifth place, or not zero. We must put God first in our lives. It's a commandment that God has given unto us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And we know if we read above that verse, it's talking about some temporal things. And seek God first, and He will provide for us whatever it is. We talked about Sunday school, a turmoil in the world. God is mindful of us. He knows what's happening. He knows what's coming. Seek Him, and He will be there with us. And whatever we need, whether it's temporal, spiritual, that's His promise. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 and 38. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he taketh not his cross and follow after me. And he that taketh his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. I love my family a lot. I have a great love for my grandchildren. So precious, so innocent, so loving. But I can't put them before God. I must put God first. He must be the most important thing in my life. Luke 9, 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Deny himself. We're going to have to deny ourselves some of these things of the world. It says, take up our cross. And an important word there is daily. Take up our cross daily. Every day. And follow Christ. He's leading us. He's trying to lead us. His hand is outstretched. We just have to follow. The plan is there. We have the plan. We're fortunate because we have the complete plan. We must follow it. The title of my sermon, What is Really Important in Life? This statement came from the title of some quotes from Zig Ziglar. I'm sure some of you have heard of him. He was a motivational speaker that I had the opportunity to meet him in a seminar years ago. And you will see clearly that he has a belief in God. That, you know, his seminars, you know, I've been to a number of them through work, and they're you know, they're career-based. I know a lot of you have been to them. I know Jerry's been to them. Many of you have been to these seminars. And they're career-based and trying to get you to be motivated and work harder and, you know, all this stuff. And, of course, he did that. Tried to get you motivated to be a better employee, to be a better person. But he was able to spin God in there, too, which is a little unusual for these seminars. He knew how important God was. So here are some of the statements that he made. Just one-line statements. When you know that success, a win, doesn't make you, and failure, a loss, doesn't break you. You know, we can't think too highly of ourselves when we have a success in life. And we can't let a failure destroy us. We all have failures in life. Some are small, some are big. We all have failures. I've had failures. But we can turn that failure into a success with the help of God. He has promised to be there with us. Number two, when you're filled with faith, hope, and love, and live without anger, greed, guilt, envy, or thoughts of revenge. Faith, hope, and love, faith, hope, and charity. No charity is that pure love of Christ. We need to be filled with that. The scriptures tell us that clearly, don't they? These other things can be more difficult to get out of our life, can't they? Anger, do we get angry sometimes? I get angry sometimes. I try to work on it. Greed, guilt, envy. So many in the world have so much. We can't get caught up in that, of wanting what they have. Or thoughts of revenge. That's hard for me to see this evil. I want to take care of it. We know the scriptures tell us that vengeance is God's. He will take care of it. In his own time. Moroni, chapter 7, verses 47 to 52. This scripture very clearly talks about that faith, hope, and love. Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised unto eternal life. And this because of your faith in him according to the promise. We can have hope for that eternal life because Christ died and suffered on the cross for us. He made that atonement for us. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope. For without faith, there cannot be any hope. And again, behold, I say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain, for none is acceptable before God, save the meek and lowly of heart. The humble. We have to be a humble people. If we're lifted up in pride, we got to work on it. We got to get it out of there. If we can't get it out, it will destroy us. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart, and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore, he must needs have charity. If we don't have this love of Christ in our hearts, it says we are nothing. Verse 51, and charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Remember that. It never fails. This love of Christ we have in our hearts. If it's there, it'll be there for all eternity. It will guide us and direct us in our lives. If we have that pure love, we won't have anger. We won't want revenge because of that pure love. Verse 52, wherefore cleave unto charity. Hold on to it. I always use the example here, like the rod of iron. The word of God, what's it, the scripture tell us? Hold on to it. It's solid. It's strong. Don't let go of it. That's what cleave means, to hold on. Hold on to this charity. Have it in our heart. It says, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Pretty important, isn't it? To have this love, this pure love of Christ is the way it's described. To have that in our hearts. And I know sometimes we waver. Sometimes I waver. We've got to work on it. Make sure that is part of us. That is what is in our heart. That is what the desire of our heart. Number three. When you've made friends of your adversaries and have gained the love and respect with those who know you best. We can try to be friends with our adversaries. Could be difficult. And they may not want to be friends. They may reject us. Something to work on. And to gain the love and respect of others, we must show our love and respect for them. To have that pure love of Christ in our hearts for our fellow man. Number four. When you understand that others can give you pleasure, but genuine happiness comes when you do things for others. Our service to others. That's where true happiness comes from. Mosiah chapter 2, and I'm going to read the last part of verse 43. And administering to their relief, both spiritually and temporally, according to their wants. Spiritually and temporally. We know that people stand in need. There are always people in need, aren't there? There's supposedly many children in Arizona, in the United States of America, who go hungry at night. I can't imagine. That's why I support the food banks. There's always temporal needs. But sometimes the most important thing we can do is help them spiritually. To help strengthen them in times of trial. A kind word. Discuss something, a problem. Help them with it. Whatever it might be. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. I have showed you all things. How that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. But he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I actually looked up that word blessed in Strong's. And one of the definitions is actually happy. I didn't realize that before. So it makes you more happy to give than receive. And I know I've found that in my life. That there is a reward when we help others. Number five. when you're pleasant to the grouch, courteous to the rude, and generous to the needy. Sometimes it's not easy to be pleasant to the grouch, is it? Or courteous to the rude. Okay, so we can get a little anger coming in, can't we? It's a good thought, though, isn't it? Something to work on. Generous to the needy. In Mosiah chapter 9, verses 60 through 63. And again, Alma commanded that the people of the church should impart of their substance, every one according to that which he had. If he have more abundantly, he should impart more abundantly. And he that hath but little should be required. And to him that hath not should be given. And thus they should impart of their substance, of their own free will and good desires toward God, and to those priests that stood in need, yea, and to every needy naked soul. Always those that stand in need. We got a water drive going on now. Bottles of water for homeless people that out there in this heat. There's always need. But we're commanded to do these things. We know we're commanded to pay our tithing. The scriptures are clear about that. This is in addition to that, to help those in our church, our neighbors, whoever it might be. Number six. Here's a good one. When you love the unlovable, give hope to the hopeless, give friendship to the friendless, and encouragement to the discouraged. We know the unlovable are not really unlovable, but they may seem like it. And they may be hard to deal with. These are some of the things, the trials we have in life, these little tests that we have all the time, little situations that come before us to see how we react to them. We know there are some out there that have lost hope for whatever reason. They need encouragement. Friendship with the friendless. Encourage the discouraged. With everything going on in the world, it can be easy to get discouraged. We need to look for these opportunities in life. They present themselves. They do. Look for them. They are there. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. Ye have heard that it has been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto thee, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Something for us to work on. To that perfection that the Lord is asking us to do. Not always easy, but this is what the Lord is asking us to do, to love our enemies. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. We can see how these thoughts that Zig Ziglar had are really scripturally based. That there are scriptures that are telling us to do these things. Number 7. When you recognize, confess, develop, and use your God-given physical, mental, and spiritual abilities to the glory of God and for the benefit of all mankind. There's a lot in that one, isn't there? How many think that they have all these great mental and spiritual abilities? We don't always think that, do we? I don't think it. I've never thought that I have all these abilities. But we do. Each one of you has abilities. Different abilities. Things that you can do that I can't do. The ladies in the congregation, they can be so valuable. They can talk to somebody or talk to another lady that's having a problem. They can help so much more than I can. They can relate. They can talk to them in that kind and tender way. We have to recognize that we have abilities. God has given us abilities. Different ones, different amounts. But we all have them. And then it says we have to recognize them. Think about this. Do you see any? Do you recognize them? You got to recognize them. You got to confess to yourself. Yeah, I can actually do that. And then it says develop them. Pray to the Lord. He will help you develop them. He will guide you. He will show you the opportunities. And it says this is to the glory of God and for the benefit of all mankind. All these things can be of a benefit, small and great. Sometimes we never know how great it was or what difference it made. but it makes difference. I can assure you it makes a difference. Look for opportunities. Number eight, when you can look back in forgiveness, look forward in hope, look down on compassion, in compassion, and up with gratitude. Forgiveness. Look back in forgiveness. Are there those who haven't forgiven? In 3 Nephi, chapter 5, verse 107. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Kind of makes it clear, doesn't it? We must be willing to forgive others. That's a requirement for God to forgive us our trespasses. And we have trespasses. I have trespasses. I have sins. Hope. Look forward in hope. I hope we all have hope. Ether, chapter 5, verse 4. Wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. Wherever whoso believeth in God. And we know that believeth doesn't just mean that I believe there's a God in heaven and Christ. It's more than that. If we believe, we will follow. So whosoever will follow God might sure and with a surety hope for a better world. We need to make sure that we are following God, that we're putting Him first in our lives. All these things of this temporal life will soon, someday be gone. Someday be gone and of no value. But our serving God, that is what will get us that eternal life, that hope for eternal life. We need to be diligent. The third one, look down in compassion. I used this in my sermon in Colorado. It seems appropriate here. My brother Skeet Yates. How many knew Skeet Yates? How many? A lot of young people didn't. He passed away many years ago. I can remember when I was a young boy and Skeet would come to Colorado. And my parents would always have him over for dinner. And generally, when, you know, as a young boy, when the dinner's over, I'm finding my toys and let's get on with this plane, whatever. Not when Skeet came to town. I was glued to that chair. You could not move me from that chair because I was listening to Skeet Yates stories. And he was a master storyteller. He had you on the edge of your seat. And you know, it's, I guess, and to me, he was the ultimate tough guy. He wasn't very tall, but he was a tough guy. I don't know how to explain it. He was just a tough guy, but you got this tough guy, okay, who a lot of tough guys in the world are, you know, they're not very humble, are they? But here you've got this tough guy who was very humble. Very humble. And just look down in compassion. There's a story that Brother Don McIndoe and Skeet were in Yucatan. I think it might have been Merida. I'm not sure. But there was this man that was trying to impress them. And he had taken them to a restaurant and they had lunch, and I don't know what his objective was, you know, to gain favor. I know in a lot of these countries, people want to, I don't know, it's kind of a feather in their hat to know a white guy or to have favors from a white guy, or I don't know. We see it everywhere we go. But anyway, this guy wanted something from them, and he was trying to impress them. And they were done eating, and they were walking down the street. And Skeet sees someone that he knows in the gutter. I don't know what his problem was. I don't know if he's a member of the church. Somebody who was downcast in the gutter. And of course, this guy that's with them, you know, he's like, you know, you just step around and move away quick. So what do you think Skeet did? A humble man who loved the Lord, who loved his fellow man. He got down in the gutter with him. He had compassion for him. Pulled him up out of that gutter. Loved him. Hugged him. I don't know what all. What do you think happened to the man that was trying to impress him? He disappeared. Gone. Didn't want any part of that. That's not what his goal was. That's not what he was about. It was about pride and something. Real compassion. Compassion, you know, the word really means sympathy. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. We're to have that compassion. Skeet's always been my example for that. The fourth one is look up with gratitude. And gratitude is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to our Lord and Savior. And I'm going to read Alma 16, just the first part of verse 238. And that ye live in thanksgiving daily, for the many mercies and blessings which he doth bestow upon you. We need to always have that thanks on our hearts for what the Lord has done for us, for bringing us here, for the many blessings that he has bestowed upon us. And he'll continue to be there with us. As long as we're there serving and following after him. The last one, when you stand in front of the Creator of the universe and he says to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. the words we all want to hear someday. And we have talked about the things that the Lord has asked us to do in this life. And if we're willing to do them, we will hear those words someday. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Of course, this spiritual life is different than our temporal light, isn't it? There's things in this life, in this world, that we can maybe get away with, that nobody will know, nobody will see. But it's not that way with our spiritual lives. God sees and knows everything. How that's possible, I have no idea. That shows you how powerful our God is. But it says the books were opened, and I think the books is talking about is the Bible and the Book of Mormon. It's the Word of God that we will be judged for. And another book was written, or was opened, the Book of Life. And they were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. We need to have those good works in our life. Those are the things that we will be judged for. And it says dead, the dead, small and great, all will be judged. All will be judged equally. It doesn't matter if it's the little man in the gutter, the kings, the presidents, the rulers, they're all going to stand there and be judged fairly, fairly by God. Alma, chapter 19. And verses 43 and 44. Behold, it hath been made known unto me by an angel that the spirits of all men, as soon as they are departed from this mortal body, yea, the spirits of all men, whether they be good or evil, are taken home to the God who gave them life. And then shall it come to pass that the spirits of those which are righteous are received into a state of happiness, which is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where they shall rest from all their troubles and from all their cares and sorrow. What a wonderful thing that would be. What a wonderful place that is. A state of happiness, a state of rest, a state of peace from all the cares and troubles of life. And this life has many cares and troubles. But it also has many rewards and many blessings. I know the Lord is mindful of each one of us. And if we are faithful, He will guide us and direct us. And to dwell with Him for eternity. That is what is most important in life. That is the goal. That should be what is most important in this life, serving God. Having that hope, having that goal. Looking to spend that eternity with Him, to obtain that eternal life. But we must put God first in our lives. I thank you for your time.